Hey everyone, welcome as we watch stuff 161. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. This thing better not stop recording. Anyways, hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing. I'm just listening to you watch that thing spin so we can get this show on the road, dealing with Texas weather, and I just finished watching a movie.
Yeah, so this is right off the top. Shahid just finished this movie, which, frankly, I was kind of surprised. So, yeah, I have not seen this movie. What did you just finish watching?
I just finished watching Marine 6. The sixth installment of the WWE series that was started off by John Cena, followed by one with Ted DiBiase, and the fourth one of The Miz.
Now, I thought Randy Orton was in... Oh, no, Randy Orton was in the
12 rounds sequel, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, like, I was curious about it because I saw the last one. Like, the fifth one was the first one I actually watched since the first one. And that one was fun in a goofy way because that had The Miz and, like, Heath Slater, Bo Dallas, Naomi, and who was the other?
Was Maurice in that one?
Yeah, Maurice was in there for, like, a cameo. So, and that was kind of, like, that was fun in a fun way. And then this one is him, Shawn Michaels, and Becky Lynch. So I'm like, I'll go ahead and run it. I was surprised because I had just checked on Amazon. You know, Amazon, the Blu-ray is out of stock.
Really? Well, they have a... I thought they had, like, an exclusive deal with Walmart.
No, you can still... They have... You can get it at Walmart, but you can buy it off Amazon normally. Like, you can get the DVD. You can't get the Blu-ray.
Oh, that's...
So, yeah. So, I rented it because, like, $5. And... Wow, it's the first thing that came to it. Like, one, it's an enjoyable, like, Netflix type movie. Like, it's fun, like, real fun. Two, that movie violent as hell, like, hard R violent.
What, okay, so I was gonna ask, is it an R rated movie?
If it has a rating, it would definitely be R, and not Netflix Marvel R, like real R. Like, people getting shot in the face and stabbed in the chest, and people cussing R.
Yeah, it does say it is rated R on IMDb, so there's that.
I would have never guessed The Miz and Shawn Michaels would have had great chemistry in a movie, but here we are. Like, they work well together. Like, you know, Shawn Michaels playing out the old, I'm too old for this, scrappy old man, and Miz plays like the normal, like, you know, I'm a normal star thing. Like, Miz definitely has a charisma in his movies that's, like, different from his wrestling charisma, which is just funny because you see The Miz on TV and then you see him in these movies, like, wow, this is, like, he's believable in these movies, and, like, you root for him, and you would never think you'd be rooting for him in these silly-ass movies.
Well, yeah, and then there's also, well, we'll get that in a little bit, but I don't know, I'm at a disadvantage because I've only seen the original Marine, and that was a big piling hunk of garbage.
Okay.
So,
oh, also, yeah. Spoiler alert, what I was really surprised is beside the fact that Becky Lynch, she's not just in the movie, she's the main villain in the movie.
Yeah, that I always knew, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, because they've had WWE wrestlers in there before, but it's like a lot of times they are in there for like a few spots and somebody else does heavy lifting. Like Neil McDonough was one of the villains of the Marine movies. I didn't even realize he was like the one thing.
Well, so was, who was a T-2000 or whatever.
Robert Patrick. He was the first. That one was like, yeah. So, but no, this one is Becky Lynch. And basically, the plot story is she gets hired. I think her brother is like a big criminal. And they hire her to kidnap the daughter of one of the jurors so he can throw the trial so he can get away free. Oh. And The Miz and Shawn Michaels are like, you know, doing some VA stuff. And all of a sudden, they just happen to be in the same house where they have this girl kidnapped. And the raid happens. Basically, it's like, imagine the raid with HBK and The Miz. Like, and I say that, I'm serious. Like, you know those beans where you fall in, they have like the seeds and stuff. So they fall in one of them. HBK falls like onto a damn pulley, like something. He gets impaled, like shoulder first. So they pull it out. And he's bleeding throughout the whole movie. And they do the whole ramble. I'm going to pour some gunpowder into the wound and set it on fire. And I was like, this is some Like, I was not expecting this. Like, people get shot in the head. Becky Lynch kills somebody by stabbing him in the heart.
Which seems totally believable nowadays, so.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, The Miz dies.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Well, who the hell is going to take over his franchise?
Shawn Michaels finishes off the movie. You would think out of the two that Shawn Michaels be the one that, no, The Miz does this whole I'm going to sacrifice myself so you can get away thing, get shot like 9 times, and then gets killed with a knife to the heart. Like Becky Lynch flings a knife at him. He dies.
Well, wait. Hang on. All right. And I'm being dead serious. This is literally part of his wrestling gimmick, that he's the star of the blockbuster, you know, box office blockbuster, whatever, Marine 6. And I mean, that's like Stallone getting killed off in Rambo.
Yes.
Yes, I understand the headiness.
No, but you can imagine the face I make. I'm like, wait a second. He's the star of these movies.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, because first I noticed like he gets shot in the stomach, and it's like, oh, wow, because he told a story about, you know, remember we was over such and such, and he took these bullets for me, anything like that. And HBK is like, yeah, that was my job. My job was to protect you. He's like, okay, same thing. And you scroll down, you see he got shot in the stomach. So he does the whole I'm going to sacrifice myself, pull a gun out, and start shooting people. And then he gets shot about 5 or 6 more times, runs out of bullets. Becky Lynch walks up to him and slings a knife right in his heart. So Shawn Michaels has to save the damn day. So he does the whole I'm going to run. Jump. So the clip they show with him fighting Becky Lynch on the boat, that's the last fight of the movie. Like, that's the end of the movie.
Jesus Christ.
So,
all right.
Yeah, so they having a fist fight on a boat is how the movie ends. He, like, she's beating his ass. He throws her off the boat with an anchor, and she drowns. Like, with an anchor tied to her feet. And, like, the movie ends with, like, you know, HBK and the girl that he saved, and they, like, giving a shout-out, you know, and then they do, like, a montage of all the Miz movies, all the Marine movies. I'm like, they actually kill a star of these, like, quote-unquote star of the franchise? Like, that was, I don't know if it was kind of like he's got to be a dad and he doesn't have the time, or he was just tired of doing them, or because those movies are, if they made 4 of them with him, it's obvious somebody watching movies are paying for these movies. So it's obvious they were making some type of profit. So I don't know if it was like a timing thing, or he got tired of doing it, or what it was. But like you said, imagine they were doing Lethal Weapon and Riggs just died. And yeah. Murtaugh survived. Like, yeah, that would be very surprising. I was shocked when that happened.
Yeah, wow. I didn't expect that, to be completely honest. Like, that's kind of a weird thing to have happen. But, hey, you know, yeah. It's movies. They can bring him back somehow. Maybe he'll be the cyborg Marine next time.
Nah, I think if HBK want to keep on doing, they'll go with him, or they'll put somebody else in. But no, two quick things we can move off on the movie. One, HBK is very believable as a crotchety ass old man.
Yeah.
And him having a potty mouth was surprising.
Oh, really? Yes, that is surprising.
Oh, yes, because it's straight cursing in this movie. Like, they're in there, like, under the caverns, and this girl telling my story about talking about, you know, such and such ago, caverns had like a cave in and buried people, and HBK stops, say, next time, keep that shit to yourself till we're out of here. And I just started laughing my ass off, because, like, yeah, why would you tell a story about a cave in a damn cave? I would say something like that too. But to hear that coming from him was just hilarious, because he's, you know, I'm Shawn Michaels, I found God again, I don't even say suck it anymore, and he cussing like a damn sailor in this movie.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was going to get. I understand one's wrestling, one's movies, but, I mean, just, yeah, the sucky thing is what always gets me, because he doesn't do it, and it's like, really? Okay, you can play a character, but anyways, I guess he can justify this, well, I'm playing in a movie, and, you know,
and
people see an R-rated
movie. And the second one is, Becky Lynch was very good in this movie, like, and she was very believable. It's funny, like, seeing that, like, it's not as surprising seeing it now with her wrestling stuff. It's very believable, her as, like, an evil-ass villain, because that's basically she was. Like, she was, like, a monster. But, and she was definitely enjoying herself, and she bossed, like, she had a team, like, 20 dudes, and they all shook with her, you know, like, she kills one to prove a point. Can they talk about, you know, they got away. Like how they get away? Talking about, you said no guns. Like, yeah, I said no guns. You shouldn't need a damn gun. And stabs the dude in the back of the damn neck. And then points a gun at the other one, like, you know, can you do this or do I have to do this? So, like, you know, like, it was like a Van Damme Seagal villain. And it's just weird seeing that from, like, Becky, like, from Becky Lynch. But, like, yeah, that was, like, because I had a few friends that watched it. So, I'm like, you know, and they were talking about how shocking it was. So, like, it's $5. I can go ahead and rent it. So, why not? You know, like, the last one was fine. It's, like, an hour and 25 minutes. I had time. I was not expecting to be, like, enjoying, like, me actually, like, caring about the stakes of the movie. So, kudos to them.
Yeah, I'm reading the reviews. 2 out of 10 on IMDb. 4 out of 10, actually. Someone give it a 10 out of 10, so that's nice.
No, it's funny because I was going on Twitter, and most fans were, like, making... Like, it was two sets of fans, like, oh, they make 6 of them? Like, making fun of the fact that was even a thing, like, making fun that the series existed. But then people who actually watched it talked about how they enjoyed it. So it's kind of like... Which kind of fits in wrestling. It's either the fans that make fun of stuff just by the nature of it, and fans who actually give stuff a chance and like what they see or don't like what they see.
Yeah, the reviews are exactly what you'd expect. So, I have nothing to add to this. So, since we're on the topic of Becky Lynch, I know we do wrestling every once in a while, and this is totally warranted. So, if you haven't heard of Becky Lynch by now, it's coming. And all right, and I mean this in all seriousness. Is she the hottest name in wrestling right now?
Yes. She is.
Okay, I brought it up because that's what I think. And
I mean, yeah, like what people talk about. So according to Meltzer and other avenues, right now the current potential main event for Mania is Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey.
How awesome is that? I'm still not going, but...
Yeah, I'm gonna say, like, I'm still not going, but I'm like... You know what's hilarious about the whole thing? It's like a two-part thing. One, when Ronda Rousey showed up at Mania last year, people talked about, like, you know, it'd be a good chance that one day women will make WrestleMania. And it's like, and it'll be because of her, like, she'll, like, if he might give a chance to be her. And the fact that it might be, like, a year after she, like the next year, and she's not, like, the number one person people are excited about seeing is just insane. Mm-hmm. Like, Becky Lynch is Stone Cold Steve Austin, including the injury. Like, she took an injury and used it to her advantage. Like, we talked about the whole thing about we didn't want to see the match in Survivor Series because it's like, it's Survivor Series. Like, save that for something like WrestleMania. And then Raw happens, and she shows up and beats up Ronda Rousey, comes out like the biggest badass. Like, I'm going to challenge all these women by myself. SmackDown women come jumper. Nia Jax continues her Vader offense and punches her square in the face. And then you see, like, okay, you see Ronda Blee. I'm like, oh, you see Becky Blee. I'm like, what happened? Yep. And then they kept, you know, how WWE, they like showing blood, so they kept trying to hide it. And it got to the point where it's like, you know what, we can't hide it anymore, so we'll just go the other way, just zoom all in. And you see badass Becky Lynch beating up Ronda Rousey with a chair, the crowd cheering her. She got blood on her face. She's standing tall. And I'm like, this is Steve Austin. Like, we was making these jokes, but I'm like, this badass woman that's just showing off a complete badass, and she's doing that against Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm. That's what was driving me crazy, was they wouldn't show her, and then, you know, like, no choice. But yeah, well, one, it started backstage. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing that in the ring, all right, everyone can see, you know, you got the better visuals, or, yeah, better visual to end the show with, but she's going to town backstage, and it's like, holy shit. Like, you knew what they were doing with this match anyways, but now all of a sudden... I mean, I got to back up. One, everyone expected it to be Charlotte and Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of people, myself included, when they did the whole Becky Lynch thing with Charlotte, figured Charlotte was going to come out on top so that she could just keep winning and build the two of them up to it. And they went with Becky Lynch instead, and it was like, all right, well, eventually she's got to lose the title. Well, now it like they ran into this accident, and like you call her Steve Austin, and it's not that far off. And people are going to scoff at it. It was like, well, you know, yeah, because she's a woman, sure, but it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, that woman shit went out the window. And if there was any doubt from Monday, then Tuesday cemented it, because she came out there and she cut that promo like, you know, I had this concussion and it's a shame because I wanted to prove that I could do it and yada, yada, yada. And then she is like, you know what, like, I'll be back. And then that whole thing with her and Charlotte, like, you know, beat her like I would beat her because I know you can do it. And they do the handshake and do the hug and stuff. And, you know, Charlotte, like, she's about to cry and everybody's there. And it's like, she's basically like, you know, the SmackDown locker room leader. Like, everybody's giving her respect. Like, she's the top person on SmackDown. And they giving her those props. And then you compare it to, like, how Ronda is. Like, she's coming off as a meathead on promos and on Twitter. Like, that whole millennial avocado toast thing. Like, they're the same age.
Well, the millennial thing, I understand. And I know where that's coming from. So I was like, okay, that like, it made sense to me. Because I think she's honestly commenting on, like, Becky and Charlotte's old Twitter stuff. I think that's what it is. And I mean old because they don't do it anymore. But I get that. But wait, hang on to Ronda for a second. Because you're right on this.
Yeah.
There's so much here, which is even crazier. And what makes me very happy and excited about this whole thing is, as I routinely keep saying, I'm a big proponent of women's wrestling. So to see what WrestleMania will be coming up on? 35?
35 or 36, something like that.
Okay, so 32 was Dallas, right? Is that right?
It was Dallas, and then what else?
Okay, what else?
Dallas, New Orleans. I think we're missing one.
No, we went last year. That was New Orleans.
Yeah, last year was New Orleans.
It was San Jose.
No, that was before Dallas. I'm trying to think. What's the one? Oh, okay. It was Orlando. Like, it's Orlando. Mm-hmm.
All right. So at Dallas 32, that's when they got rid of Divas. That's when they got rid of, like, the butterfly belt, and it all became women, and they're just superstars.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that pretty badass Becky, Sasha, Charlotte match.
Yeah.
And was there another women's match? Or that was before the split, right?
That was the... No, I think that was the... I can't remember if that was... I think that might be the only women's match.
Okay. So you go from that 3 years ago to potentially... And yes, it does make... Ronda Rousey does help this a lot. But we've gone from women's battle royals... bra and panty battle royal, or whatever, evening shade or evening gown battle royals.
Evening shade.
Yeah. To women potentially hosting, hosting the biggest wrestling event in the world.
Main eventing. WrestleMania.
Main eventing. And New York. In New York. Which, you know, depending on.
And that crowd is going to be insane. Because Becky Lynch is like, you know, the adopted New York girl since she moved. I know it was like she's from Ireland, but since she's been here, it's always like they treat her like, you know, like New York's a second home. And that New York is like smart crowd central. It's just amazing. Like, you think about two main injuries. Not only the stuff with Becky Lynch, two main injuries basically changed WWE. Because Roman Reigns being out completely changed Raw.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch getting hurt is one of the reasons why Daniel Bryan is, quote unquote, the new world champion.
Yeah.
Which kind of like, because apparently it's like, you know, he convinced Vince, like, he wanted to turn heel. He convinced him last week, and then over the weekend they decided to do the title change for Tuesday. And if somebody I wouldn't have to say 2-3 years ago, if somebody told you a year ago that Survivor Series, you had Daniel Bryan wrestling Brock Lesnar and they're both champions.
Yeah.
What would you like? Because think about it. Brock Lesnar was basically on the way out because Roman Reigns was going to be champ and Brock Lesnar was going to be doing the UFC thing. AJ Styles was doing his Ric Flair impersonation. And Daniel Bryan was like, you know, he ain't wrestling again. And now they're both, and not only Daniel Bryan, heel evil Daniel Bryan. Because he's not he's not that smarmy heel Daniel Bryan, like the no Daniel Bryan. He's that ROH ass, like evil Daniel Bryan. Like that beatdown to AJ Styles was just ruthless. And his face was like, yeah, you had it coming.
And okay, so wait. So I'm actually trying to keep this linear for a change. So yes, and the whole thing's changed now. The Daniel Bryan stuff I'm actually pretty happy with, although I wanted to see AJ and Brock again. And like in my head, they had a perfect solution to the problem with, because apparently they don't trust or don't have the faith in Braun Strowman that the fans want or fans do. So, and also I guess he's working on like two bad knees, so that's really not going to help. If they didn't want Brock around, or maybe this is exactly what Brock wants, they could have just said, hey, you know what? This is going to unify the titles. Because, I mean, AJ's a workhorse. You have him go on both shows, and you can eventually have him lose, you know, have lose one of them or whatever, you know. And have the rematch have, like, some sort of stipulation or goal in mind, but... And it doesn't have to matter now. And really, Daniel Bryan losing to Brock Lesnar, which is probably going to happen, I would guess.
I doubt that.
Wait, you think Daniel Bryan's going to win?
I think they. Can you imagine? Like, because Brock Lesnar doesn't care, and it's not a title match. Just think about that. Oh, they just turned Daniel Bryan heel. AJ Styles had that belt for a long ass time. Like over a year, and they made a big deal talking about how long he had the belt. So to have Daniel Bryan just win the title and turn heel and then lose, I know it's Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar does not need to win, because like Brock Lesnar will be Brock Lesnar, and Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan. It's like a heel versus heel thing. That's the other funny thing, like, because Brock is at the very least chaotic neutral and leans toward heel. Daniel Bryan is straight heel. Like, when he... It's funny we moved off the whole Rousey.
Yeah, I know. I tried.
Let's say, but no, but it's like, when he hit AJ with the knee, I was like, wait a goddamn minute. He's about to win the title.
I had fallen asleep earlier in the show. I've just been tired. So I woke up, and I'm watching, and pick my head up, and I see the match. I caught the whole match. He low blows him. I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And then... Because, all right, and the reason being, I'm sitting there going, all right, where's the Raw guys? All right, where's the Raw guys? Like, so, like, to get some heat on the Raw guys for interrupting the main event, you know? Because people at the time were split. And you're just expecting. So he low blows, and I'm going, huh. And then he hits me, and I'm like, oh, okay, AJ always kicks out. Okay. And the referee hit three, and I'm just laying there going, what? And so you're like, you're waiting for Shane to come out or Paige, or you're waiting for the Raw guys or just something, and nothing. It was like, what? And then it went off the air, and I'm thinking.
Oh, after he beat the hell out of AJ? Yeah.
Yes. And I went, what the hell just happened?
That's what everybody's reaction was. Like, they showed the crowd, and the crowd was like, half the crowd was chanting. Yes, the other crowd was like, what happened? Like, they were shocked. Like, they could not believe. Because everyone had the same thought as you. It's kind of like, you know, they doing a title match. Somebody's going to run in and break it up. Because it's like, it just seemed logical.
Well, Daniel, the whole thing out of the blue, which they don't do very well lately. So.
Yeah. And that whole thing basically happened was, I think the original plan was Ronda and Becky were going to highlight Survivor Series. Becky gets hurt. So they need a new main event, and it's kind of like, you know, we see AJ and yada, yada, yada. They could have been perfectly fine. Daniel Bryan convinced Vince, like, let me be heel. And then I guess they was like, let him have the title. And it's just funny where Becky Lynch getting hurt changed Survivor Series, changed Daniel Bryan's career, and probably changed WrestleMania.
And since we're going back to her, that's her. As in mm-hmm. a female, as in a woman, all of this was centered around a woman getting hurt because of some clumsy asshole that, I mean, I know you're making the joke, but there are so many, I mean, when she got called up, there were people saying, what? Like, she's not ready.
Yeah.
It's pretty goddamn clear that one is not ready, but.
I will say this. Yes, she was sloppy with that. But I think a lot of people just getting on her. Like, if it was a man, or if she hit somebody else, like if she had did that to like Billy Kay, nobody would give a rat's ass.
Like, no, you're like, right on that one.
To be perfectly honest, and I made the thing with Vader for real. I'm like, you've seen some of the stuff Vader do. Like, I know that clip him and Shamrock. I'm like, that's kind of tame. You know, like, ask Mick Foley about that. Mm-hmm. Like, ask, like, you know, that whole thing. He broke somebody back with a power bomb. That wasn't no kayfabe stuff.
Who was Vader the one that popped someone's eye out, or was that Stan Hansen?
No, Stan Hansen popped Vader's eye out. Okay. Stan Hansen ain't playing that shit. It is like, I mean, yes, she's clumsy, but I grew up watching the Steiner Brothers. Like, I grew up with people who was beating up people for real. And like, you know, I don't want to hear Ryback talking about that stuff. Oh, that was Ryback's thing, was hurting. Like, I seen plenty of clumsy men hurting people, and the only one that got a lot of heat for was, like, Seth Rollins, because he did it to Sting and Finn Balor. And people got on him, too, saying, like, and people started getting on him because Bret Hart said something. So, yeah, like, and then she said the same thing, although she made a joke about, you know, like,
I figured that was all in character anyways.
Yeah, so. No, it was funny because Becky Lynch was talking about, you know, like, it's we not post office people and everything like that. Accidents happen. Look at my hand. And she showed a picture of her hand had a cut. And it's like, ha, ha, ha. So Becky Lynch, as queen of Twitter, response on, well, yeah, you know, like, I got myself hurt, but I'll be back. I forget about it, bitch.
Okay, and I guess bitch is okay on TV, and now it's apparently on Twitter, it's WWE approved. So. Uh-huh.
Because between that and what she's told about Ronda Rousey, when Ronda went on Twitter and said, oh, it's a shame that you can't make it, millennial girl, and yada, 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 but I'll be waiting for you. And, like, you know, I got hurt on the same show. I still beat your ass and beat Raw's ass. You got hurt, and you hid under your blanket for a year. Talking about what happened in UFC.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like, they are not Ronda Rousey any favors with the stance they have for going. And, like, people tend to forget, Ronda Rousey has said some lunatic shit on Twitter before. Like, she's a Sandy Hook trooper.
Oh.
Yes. And that type of thing.
You know, I don't pay attention to people, so yes. I'm like...
Like, her and her husband are, like, sketchy to begin with, and people tend to forgot about it because, like, oh, you know, she's Ronda Rousey. She's there smiling. Ain't no problem. It's cool. It's like, yeah, she's cool in the ring when she's wrestling. They start having cut promos like she's, you know, Bill the Butcher from Gangs of New York. Like, you know, women have their place and you're there eating toast and being nice and having feelings. And I've been getting put in an arm bar since I was 8 months old. Like, that's normal. Like, you sound like a meat. Like, you sound like a meathead. And she's going to be a hero. And I told you, they need to be careful about who they put in the ring with, because she was getting cheered because she's wrestling people as easy to boo. They put her. It says a lot when Becky was going over to people at SmackDown, and they went over to Asuka, and the crowd lost their mind. And some people's like, they rather see Asuka. I'm like, you do not want to see Ronda Rousey and Asuka in a match, because you will do Ronda Rousey favor. The crowd would. If you could, like, Charlotte and them will have a good match, but it's not like Charlotte's like this beloved fan favorite. Ain't nobody want to see Asuka lose to Ronda Rousey. Like, not right now. Not in the Survivor Series. And, yeah, you don't want your top baby, because she's basically the top baby face on Raw. You don't want your top baby face getting booed unless she's wrestling like Becky Lynch. Other than that, avoid that if possible.
Yeah, I also think I'm hoping. All right, so there's – all right, and this goes along with it. There's a rumor out there, and so take this for what it is, all right? But there's apparently a rumor out there that Vince is getting to be more and more hands-off. And Evolution, like, they were trying to say that Vince was responsible, he was there, but apparently he was just watching. And it also, he's not coming to TV all the time anymore. So you've got that as well, to where Triple H is starting to run creative and do, and, like, you know, basically take the reins, like everyone kind of thought he was going to eventually. Well, I wonder if they're just going to start embracing WrestleMania now, to where, all right, we're going to book our stuff, and we're just going to let the people decide who they're going to cheer for.
Yeah, that's, you know, smart, because that's... It's,
yeah. Especially in this case.
Because people tend to forget, most of WWE's biggest stars have been by accident.
Yep.
Like, since like the 80s, like the late, like, you know, Macho Man wasn't, people didn't think he was going to get over like that. Like, even Hogan, the first, like, it wasn't until he got his AWA stuff and, like, the Rocky stuff until it's like, oh, we got a thing with Hogan, let's use him. And then you look at the stuff, like, people think about Stone Cold, how does an accident, the same, you can go back to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Like, they were not, you know, like, I know history now, like, they were destined for greatness. No. Bret Hart was in a tag. Bret Hart, by the time the 90s came, was wrestling for a long-ass time, and he was just that tag team mid-card guy.
Yeah.
And somehow he became the excellence of execution and yada, yada, yada. And even then, when he won, they didn't have faith in him. Like, it took a while for him, like, okay, we're going to give you this chance. Same thing with Shawn Michaels, because they thought he was too small. Stone Cold was an accident. You know, Rey Mysterio, John Damn Cena. Like, it's funny, like, John Cena was the star of that generation. He almost got fired until he bust out a freestyle rap. Batista, like, even Batista, like, him became a star because Randy Orton messed up. Like, how that happened. And so, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, like, even stuff like Braun, you know, Braun Strowman, even though he, like, he's this big guy, like, they think Braun, like, they thought, you know, we might have someone like Braun Strowman. They didn't think Braun Strowman was going to become Braun Strowman, like, in a year like that. And now it's like, you got Becky Lynch. That whole thing was set up for Charlotte to, like, regain her throne and be the hero again. And the crowd was like, F that. And they, to give them credit, I know people like to say, oh, it's a mistake, they didn't know what they had. Part of that may be true, but they booked her in a way as, like, they knew something. Because she kept doing stuff where it's like, if you didn't have faith in her, you wouldn't keep making her look this strong. And she was a heel that was winning clean in matches that heels didn't win clean. So it's kind of like, I think it got to the point where it's like, you know what? We got. And I think it got cemented like a Raw by accident. Because Nia Jax broke her nose, getting concussion. And she there, blood running down her face like William Wallace, like the biggest badass on the planet.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's, we have to, because that's actually going to be the cover picture for the show this week, is Becky basically arms out, looking like a total badass, and looking sexy as hell. Like, mm-hmm. just, dude, and I understand what time we're in, but there's nothing sexier than a strong-ass woman like that. I mean, she's up there nosebleeding, talking shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, I get it. I mean, it's, that was the coolest thing. And I'm taking the wrong things out of it at the end, but it was still that she was that strong regardless. Like, and that's what stars do. I mean, you know, the whole Austin thing, and everyone thinks, oh, well, that took off. No, they tried to bury, mm-hmm. they tried to keep him off. Was it In Your House or the next pay-per-view? He wasn't even on. And now, I mean, obviously she won't be on this one. She'll be there, I guess. And, well, yeah, I mean, I would hope she'd be there. I mean,
there's no reason for her to be there. It's like, if she got a concussion, you don't want her flying for nothing.
Right. So, you said she lives there, though. So, if she has to go home, it can't be that bad. No, I forgot. It's in Los Angeles. I was getting my WrestleMania and Survivor Series mixed up. But, I don't know. I would think she'd have to be there for, like, some sort of bow on top of this small angle right now. And then the thing is, right now, Becky's not even set up to get revenge. Like, she can't get revenge on Nia Jax either. Because you got to figure that first.
Yeah, Royal Rumble.
And then, well, they're on the wrong brands. That's the only problem.
I mean, Royal Rumble, they're going to have a women's Royal Rumble, so.
Well, the champs usually aren't in it, though.
That's the thing. I have the feeling, because think about it. The only way this match makes sense, like, you don't want to have, like, if they're going to do a WrestleMania, you figure it's going to be stakes involved. So, I have the feeling, like, either, like, she gets the title strip and she wins Royal Rumble and challenges Ronda. Although the best thing is, like, she wins Royal Rumble anyway. It's like, I'm going to challenge. Because keep in mind, eventually that brand split is not going to be a thing. Like, people, you know, like, Fox is getting SmackDown. They not just getting SmackDown just for Rusev Day. They pay all that money for nothing. So the feeling is more than likely, like, they want SmackDown stars and Raw stars. Because it's kind of like, we paid that money, we want everything. So, yeah, either title unification, or just have one title, how they handle it. It's ways to do that. if you do that. And it's funny where you have all this thing where all of Becky Lynch's feuds are organic, because like it just happened by like real life stuff. Like she got a feud with Ronda Rousey just because. Now her and Nia Jax got stuff because an accident happened in the ring. Nia Jax has a thing with Ronda Rousey because of storyline stuff. But it's just weird now where Nia's like a heel, Ronda's a face that's gonna get cheered against everybody except for Ronda Rousey. And Ronda Rousey's like, no, she ain't a heel no more. Like, if it was any doubt, you know, they was booking like that, Tuesday nipped that in the bud. Because they wouldn't have had her come out there like, you know, I'm queen of the castle. I'm got to bring the brand up. You women represent for me. That's not what heels talk about. That's what babyface do.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how that happened. Like, it was a long time ago. It was a while ago. She was on a losing streak. And people were just wondering, like, you know, what's happening with her? And they burying her. And she's the hottest thing in WWE. It is not even like ironically or like ha ha ha. Like she's walking around calling herself the damn man, and the men are co-signing her. Not just the women, like the men are giving her props. Like, yeah, she's got the juice.
So you mentioned him, and I just realized Rusev wasn't SmackDown again. I think that's 3 weeks in a row. I think.
I'm not surprised. SmackDown.
Yeah, it
they rotate people.
Well, I guess he knows his place. So
I mean, they wrote like it was a while like when Nakamura was US champ was on there for like a month.
Yeah.
Cause he didn't have anything to do. And it's like, well, they don't like they got 2 hours and they don't just throw people on. They don't have anything to do, just keep them home. Like Randy Orton is just running around trying to give a RKO to Rey Mysterio because I guess he didn't get a chance to do it in like 2007. Like that thing is just like that's basically his thing. They got a Survivor Series team where nobody really likes each other on SmackDown, and then the Raw team is Finn Balor and a bunch of heels.
Yeah. So can we talk about these Raw team and SmackDown team, because
what the tag team?
Well, any of them, because that Raw team has no business for the men losing to the SmackDown team.
Nope.
And then the tag team situation, the SmackDown side has no business losing to the Raw side.
They shouldn't lose a pinfall.
No.
Like, that should be a blowout. Like, I'm looking at that, and it's like, Bobby Roode and Chad Gable are your team captains. And then somebody made a joke like the New Day and Usos could beat those teams by themselves. Yeah. And then they went and got, I forgot all about Anderson and Gallo. Like they got Anderson and Gallo, Sanity and the Colognes, like beyond the Colognes. That's a blowout. Yeah. Like that's just ridiculous. And that's even with the Bludgeon Brothers not being there because one of them was hurt. That death is just insane. Like as far as the team of SmackDown. But you look at the regular SmackDown team and what was it? Miz,
Jeff Hardy,
Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, and Orton?
Believe so.
Yeah. I would have liked that team a lot more in like 2005 or 2009. Like, it's amazing that Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio are still wrestling like full time with Randy Orton's the part time one.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talked about this before, but Randy Orton collecting checks, so that's going to be the main reason, but I don't even know why he's there. He's not in any good storylines. What was his last one with Ty Dillinger?
Just because he hated his gimmick.
Yeah, and, I mean, Jeff Hardy, obviously, but I mean, since.
But
he's just been kind of around.
It's just amazing, so. Like, Jeff Hardy looks, he basically looks the same, except for he gained, like, 10 pounds of muscle. And it's like, he's morbid. People thought Jeff Hardy might be dead by now.
Yeah.
Like, it was a time when it was like, it did not look good. And Matt's the one that can't really wrestle anymore because of injury. And Jeff's just there killing people with a swanton, enjoying himself with Rey Mysterio. Like, it's 2018, and that's a thing. And then it's, hold up. Isn't Shane McMahon one of the wrestlers?
Yeah, I was just letting that go.
I just forgot about that. Mr. World Cup winner.
Himself? Best in the world, yeah.
And it's hilarious, like, even... You talking about why is Randy Orton still doing it? Why is Shane McMahon doing it in the first place? And not only the fact, I'm not mad that he's wrestling, because, truth be told, he puts on entertaining matches. He has no, like... People make fun of his punches, even though his quote unquote fake punches really hurt people because he don't know how to fake punch somebody, like when he, like it either looks real ugly or he accidentally breaks somebody's nose, which is hilarious. But it's kind of like, Shane McMahon's an awesome athlete for somebody that does not wrestle and doesn't like, he like works out or anything like that. Like, he's doing 450s and coast to coast stuff as a middle-aged dad.
Yeah. Wasn't he wearing jeans at Crown Jewel?
Yes.
Yeah. So not easy to get that distance, even though you're coming off the ropes. You know, it's still pretty tough, so.
Yeah, so it's just funny to saying that. And then, no, like, I actually have Sunday off. Like, I'm looking forward to Survivor Series just because it's so damn weird. You know, how stuff is just going on. And wrestling is like, wrestling seems to do its best when it has to scramble. And, like, we got to be really creative and work stuff on the fly. Because, you know, yeah, that Roman Reigns thing shook stuff up. Like, you know, I know we talk about Ronda Rousey. Like, Roman Reigns not being there makes you, like, Dean Ambrose is walking around looking like a rapper burning his vest.
I was really confused Monday with that. I'm like, why is he sitting on a brand new car next to a burning barrel? And I went, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right, cool.
Yeah. But, and somehow, you know, being friends made me weak. And, you know, looking out for y'all made me soft. And, like, yeah.
You ain't wrong.
And, you know, the funny thing is, when we've had the whole Shield thing, we had them when they all were heels. And then they all became faces. And then Seth was a heel, and Dean and Roman was the face, and then you had the feuds where they were kind of all feuding each other, but you haven't had Dean be a heel. Like, the money thing is going to be Dean and Roman. Like, that's because they never really had a feud like that.
Yeah.
You think about it. Like, you know, Seth is feuded with both of them, you know, but Dean's never for Reigns. Roman Reigns coming back from cancer, feuding with heel Dean Ambrose. Like, that's... That basically tells a story by itself. You don't have to say anything else. Like, that story right there is right there. But it's just funny where him not being there just make a big gap at the top. Because I don't know if they don't trust Braun Strowman. It's kind of like, if he wins the title, then what?
Well, no, of course.
I mean, I know the trust thing is there, but it's like, Cam makes a good point. I made the same point.
Oh, you mean aspiring model Cameron Hawkins?
Yeah. Yes. That's pretty boy Cam himself.
Jesus Christ.
He got a haircut, so he got to show it off, you know, show off them cheekbones. So, no. it's the whole thing is like we talk about with Andre the Giant. They made Braun Strowman so great and dominant that if he had the title, it's no believable way that he would ever lose that title. Like, so what's the point of him having the belt? Because who's going to beat him? And we've talked about that, especially like now. Like, we've talked about that, so there's no point in kind of like talking about it more. But it's like, yeah, so it's just weird, like... like Brock Lesnar's gonna have that title when he goes to UFC, and Cormier is talking about bring the belt because he wants to be a commentator when he retires from WWE. Like, that's like wrestling's insane.
Yeah, and Meltzer said this on they did a special show last night. I'm guessing because of the title change and all that's going on, and he actually said that I can't remember the guy. Something A, Special A, or someone like that, that apparently have like a 5-star match, and he goes, I'm not even sure who that is, and he goes, this is, and we've said this before. He goes, this is the best time to be a wrestling fan ever. He goes, yes. A few years ago you had a few things, but now it's like every weekend there's a 5-star match somewhere. He goes, it's great, and
it's cool. Like, wrestling is cool. Like cool again. It's not like Attitude Era cool, but beyond that, it's like you don't get like wrestling is mainstream.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as you think about it, like, people make jokes. It's like people fly all over the world to drop 4 and 5 figures. And quote unquote, I was thinking about it. I'm like, beyond family and school, like entertainment, I spent more money because of Vince McMahon than I spent on anything else in my life. Like, and he has brought me more enjoyment, entertainment-wise, than anything else. And like, I've probably want to spend, I want to say what, maybe almost 20 grand going to WrestleManias.
Yeah, I don't want to add it up, so let's change that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I spent the equivalent of getting like a Nissan Sentra with leather seats. What just and that's been that's just like recent. Like, and it's just amazing where it's times where I had watched wrestling and it's time where I kind of felt a certain way. But it's like wrestling is just this thing. Like, it's just amazing. Like, because we've seen these people, like, we've Daniel Bryan wasn't going to wrestle anymore. And we kind of like got to accept, like, you know, it's good. We don't want to get hurt. He's a champ. Like, he's world champ. And he's a heel world champ, like, bring his ROH persona. And he's wrestling Brock Lesnar. And he's, I know people talking about, he said he's, people have been talking about that match for a long time. And I know he wanted to do that match for a long time. I was like, you know, yeah, it ain't going to happen. And then it's like, do we really want to happen? Because do we really want to see Daniel Bryan die? And like, I want to see that match because it's just like I never see it. I'm just like, I want to see it.
Yeah. Well, Meltzer also said today, and I was wondering about this because remember Bryan won the title and then what's his name? Lesnar won it from Cena, right?
No, Lesnar. No, Lesnar won it at Crown Jewel after
Roman dropped it. I'm talking way back. Like Daniel Bryan won it at WrestleMania. The plan was for him to lose it at SummerSlam to Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And apparently the match was going to go just like the John Cena one did. He's just going to get ragged out all over the place, and that was it.
Well, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, and so Meltzer was questioning today whether or not that's what's going to happen Sunday.
I
can't see it.
I seriously doubt it, because it's a different scenario, because like that Dan Bryan was babyface and everything like that, and he already been established. This one, it's like he just came back not too long ago, and he just turned heel, just won the title, and yeah, like, it's no reason for them to do that.
No, and also, they...
And
as much as people want to say WWE know what they're doing, they, I mean,
they know what they... Yeah. And the main thing is, like, people forget, Brock Lesnar's probably best or second best match he came back last year against AJ Styles.
Yes.
That was a competitive match. He did not squash AJ Styles and run him over. They had a back and forth match to where, like, you thought AJ Styles almost had a chance to win. And Brock, like AJ said, Brock limped out. He didn't just stroll. There was no thing. It's like he barely won, and it was like a war. And that's AJ Styles. Daniel Bryan has, quote-unquote, more cachet, like, overall than AJ Styles, just from, like, seniority. So, and I'm sure if Brock gave that much offense to AJ Styles, he doesn't have a problem giving that offense to Daniel Bryan.
No, I can't, well, I guess it'll depend on what Brock's plans are. Like, how long does he want to wrestle? Because, I mean, look at this Crown Jewel match. He didn't do a lot. I mean, he took what a faux kick, and that was it.
I think they just had to do that just to deal with contract obligation. I think it's one of those shows they really didn't want to do it, but the money's the money, so let's just get this over with. Like, I still hadn't watched it, but I heard about it, so I kind of guessed.
Oh, it's not worth it. It's really not.
But it's like this one. As long as the money's there, like Brock, that's the whole thing. People's idea, like, Brock doesn't work. No, sometimes Brock will have a 3 or 4 minute squash match, but he's had long matches. He had that triple threat when it was, who was it, him, Seth, and Roman.
Yeah.
They had the four-way. Like, you know, people remember, like, the stuff we know. But he had that SummerSlam match. That wasn't no short match. And he was working.
Well, yeah. Well, even his, the WrestleMania match. That wasn't no short one either with him and Roman.
Hell so, no, that thing was too damn long. So yeah.
I'm no, like, if long shit.
Like if money, like if the money is there, then yeah, he'll do it. Cause it's like he doesn't have anything to prove, to be perfectly honest. So yeah. Like he's definitely like, you know, I'm here for a check. Long you don't have me looking stupid, I don't care. Cause he's Undertaker. Like, you know, like all the stuff, like, you know, people think about the Cena loss, the Triple H loss. Like, he lost to the Undertaker. He had no business doing to the Undertaker. Undertaker basically cheated to win, but it's like, he don't care. He already knows who he is. He knows that check is going to be the same amount of zeros no matter he wins or loses. So why would he sweat it?
And, like, that seems to be, like, what a lot of these other guys could probably take from him. But I also think Lesnar, the person becomes is so blurred with Lesnar the wrestling character, mm-hmm. to where people do legit think he doesn't care about any of this. And it's like, if he really didn't care, he could be doing whatever he wanted out there. I mean, he doesn't have to give AJ any of this stuff. And you know what? He's a champ. It's like, okay. I mean, and I know this has happened in the past, and I don't expect he would ever do this, but they've blurred that line so much that they make him seem like he's not one of the boys. Yeah, he's one of the boys. He's a different part of the boys, but he's still one of them.
Yes. And,
you know, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think it's getting so blurred that people honestly think that the character is really him. And it's kind of weird. But, you know.
I mean, it's just wrestling is just in this weird place right now. And a lot of it's due to circumstance where they've had weird because they've had to like adapt to the changing environment. And kudos to them. People say, oh, well, you know, they lucked out with Becky Lynch, but they don't know what to do. They could have squashed Becky Lynch if they really wanted to. Because keep in mind, the reason why she lost the belt the first time apparently is because Kevin Dunn Irish accents and didn't like her voice.
Isn't like that kind of like part of like the best part of her character? Is the way she pronounces words. I mean,
it's just coming from him. It's just so hypocritical that a man that looks like that is saying who's TV ready and who's not. And the fact that he has that much power is insane. Like, I can't wait. People worry about Vince. No, Kevin Dunn is the damn problem way more than Vince. Like, Vince has his issues. Don't get me wrong, but him and his, it's a reason why Evolution looked the way it did. Most pay-per-views don't, because they didn't have like the Jason Bourne jump cuts where you thought you gonna get damn vertigo if somebody threw a punch. Like, that nonsense is like, we don't do shaky cam anymore. It's corny. That went out like a decade ago, so stop doing it.
Well, there was something, I think it was SmackDown maybe. No, it was Raw. They mm-hmm. kept cutting back and forth, and yeah, I know they were trying to cover up Becky Lynch, but for God's sake, stick on some other action then. It kept going back to this camera, this camera, this camera. I'm like, no. That's the whole part of the chaos. Like, the brawl itself is chaotic enough to where you don't need to be switching the camera. You can have one shot where you're just sitting there trying to make out what the hell is going on.
And he didn't always do that either, because when they used to have those big brawls, they had the wide view, and you see everything, and then you'll stick to them for like, you know, good 20, 30 seconds, and then move back. I don't know if it's like when the Shield first came, or that's what's most it. Because I remember when they used to come and beat up people, that's when they're like, you know, I get to see their boots, and then cut to the face, and then cut to this hand, and then I'm like, am I watching Taken? Like, I know why they do those jump cuts to hide the fact that Liam Neeson's an old-ass man. Why are we doing this with wrestling? So, yuck. Like, cut that shit out. If you can't see what's happening, you're not going to care. And it's like, I don't know what's... I knew something was up with Becky because she kept holding her face, but I didn't know what happened because they couldn't focus on anything. Like, I don't know. Is SmackDown team winning? Who's winning everything? And then you see the end. And to leave the wrestling thing alone, we make fun of Survivor Series, like the whole Team Raw, Team SmackDown thing. I'll say this, the last 2 years have been enjoyable because part of it's like Stephanie and Shane, like this whole thing. You ain't going to embarrass me in front of my brother. You ain't going to embarrass me in front of my sister. Y'all got to represent. Because last year was enjoyable too. Remember, Shane came with the whole squad. It's like,
I was at the SmackDown when Raw attacked.
And
it was great.
And remember, Becky was there up in front too. Like, I'm ready for a fight. And they just straight jumped everybody on Raw. And then Raw, you know, got the, you know, Raw the favor like maybe a couple weeks later. It's like they had built that up, the whole thing. Like, you got to do this for your job. And they keep calling you the show and F that. And now on this year, it's been like the whole, the men been beef. It's kind of like it's been separate where individual people been before individual people, because the whole Nakamura's thing is like Seth Rollins focusing on Dean Ambrose and hurting my feelings. I'm gonna break your damn face. Like, that's basically been his thing. Like, how you ignoring me because you got buddy problems? And Seth himself said, you know, I should be focusing more on Shinsuke Nakamura, but I got this stuff with Dean Ambrose. Like, he's basically acknowledged that. So it's kind of like an individual thing. Brock Lesnar's whole thing is like, I'm approved, I'm the champ. And before it was with AJ Styles, and now it's Daniel Bryan. The tag team thing, that SmackDown tag team is just funny. You see a picture of them, like, they would never hang out in the other scenario except for wrestling. Sanity, like Sanity, Anderson and Gallows, the like the Usos, the New Day, and the Colognes. Like where some of them having stuff in common with other people, but a lot of them like there's no. We like the same food, I guess. Like, when would Killian Dane hang with Epico Cologne? Ever.
You know what's funny? You don't watch, like, the Up, Up, Down, Down channel, do you?
I've watched bits and pieces.
Okay, have you seen the Tekken tournament with Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf, like, playing the Usos and stuff? Pretty funny stuff. Because Killian Dane... Alexander Wolf was playing Jimmy? And he was talking something... Jimmy just kept looking at him like, what are you even talking about? And just the reaction between the two of them were pretty funny. So, I mean, it goes to your whole point, so.
No, I know the most recent one is, like, they had NXT versus WWE.
Yes, I have not watched that yet, so.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I saw them, like, all, like, it was, like, Cesaro, Seth Rollins, and I forgot who else, showed up to, like, NXT, like, and it's just funny where that's even a thing, like, yeah, Survivor Series used to be like the stepchild of the Big Four, and they have definitely rehabilitated like the last couple years to make it a big deal. So I give them credit with that.
Well, they also—I didn't know this was true, but apparently, taking obscure things. I guess the winners of the Mixed Max Challenge get to enter the Royal Rumble at number 30.
Yeah, I saw that. They must have just added that.
Yeah, because that was not that way before. So I was pretty surprised, and
yeah, good stakes. And yeah. I was wondering why Miz was so pissed off when they lost, because they finally lost him and Oscar finally lost a match. And I saw like the little post match thing, and Miz is like, "That's your fault because you know you wasn't focused and everything." And Oscar like she wanted to punch him in the face, like even though it's funny how the chemistry they have, but no, that's definitely something like that happened, you know. Give them something to fight about. So, yeah, it's Mixed Match Challenge is a weird thing because it's almost like an alternate universe where, and the funny thing was, it never seemed like it counted because people would be together. They had no business being together. But the fact that it's actually giving stakes, and I might no disrespect to charity, a Royal Rumble match is better than like charity. It's like, yeah. Oh, I guess the dogs are going to get something. So babies with seizures, you got to see you next year. Like that seemed kind of cruel.
It always is. Like even like the Celebrity Jeopardy, all that stuff. Whenever it's like, well, yeah, I'm playing for this, and it's like, oh, then they lose. And you're like, well, there's a lot of dead kids coming, I guess. So, you know, I don't know. It's just how it works. But yeah, I don't know. We could go on and on. How much time we got left? Let's see. I've got 20 minutes. We haven't really talked too much about them. I stopped watching Supergirl because I honestly couldn't take it anymore. Black Lightning, no surprise, is still the best.
Did you watch last night?
Yes, it was great.
Wow, yeah, I watched it.
All right, so spoilers, guys, just to get it out of the way here. You don't believe for a second Gambit's dead, right?
You know what? If it was another show, I would say yes, but it's Black Lightning.
What a weird thing that would be, though, to just cut that whole thing off with little to no, you know, no pop and circumstance at all.
It'd be like Terminator. Last show, because I remember, was that Brian Austin Green was like one of the main characters, and he just died randomly. Like, he just took a bullet, and that was it. And it's like, that was kind of, and they kept it moving. No. It's funny because they normally gloss over those type of things. So he's like, oh, you're going to bounce back up. It was basically he quote-unquote died in the beginning. And almost the rest of the episode was people dealing with it. Yeah. Like, they dealt with it. Like, this was a morose, like, it had a lot of weight because they spent so much time dealing with the after effects. And you realize how important he was to, like, not just Jefferson, but their family. Like, Uncle Gambit, like... Black people call you uncle, that means something. Especially if it's not blood. Like, that's not something you just randomly say. So, that was like, you know, this uncle that was always been there, and he's just gone, and like, the whole scene when she bring the watch, he's like, you know, put that back, that's his, and go in his house. And like, you know, she's trying to do the right thing to cheer him up, and he's trying to handle the grief, and he can't. So he's just lashing out, you know, like how human beings lash out when they're sad.
Yeah, the one... there was that. There was one, the comedic part, though. I always get the daughter's names confused. Which one's the younger one?
Nisa? Anissa's the older one.
All right, the other one. God, now I'm forgetting. The other one, when she was, she gets the instant message on her computer, and they go, or no, the computer, her home course is asking if she's still there. She goes, "Of course I'm still here. Where would I go? I'm being treated like Black Rapunzel." That cracked me up, just because that's such an old fairy tale that, mm-hmm. I mean, all fairy tales are old, but that just struck me like, what a weird thing to say, but it was funny, so I didn't care. And then they didn't even waste any time with these poor kids in the pods. One, the entire idea of giving a mad scientist like free reign, and then like
being surprised she lied,
and then yes, oh. She lies. Like what?
I like, I just like, told you that. Told you what you're here. Like I saved 16 lives, bitch.
Yeah, that was so great.
I laughed my ass off because it was like, but this woman is like evil, but yes. That's her fault. She never hid that she was evil. And it's kind of like, yes. Well, I know I shouldn't trust her, but I'm going to be Sting. It's like, well, she said that I moved her, reached her heart, so maybe I'm a believer. She's done nothing for you to believe her at all. And it's funny where it's like, you know, hope against hope and naivete caused all that. But it was funny. I laughed when she did line like, I saved 16 lives, bitch. Like, you should be grateful that we saved this much. And no. No, the episode was cool. Like, you know, Tobias. He's not on there a lot, but he maximizes his time whenever he shows up. I'll give him credit for that. He does not waste scenes, and he does not waste lines.
And he is a piece of shit, too.
Yes, he is.
It's just, all right, the problem is, that guy is so charismatic that you kind of go, oh, all right, but no.
I like him, even though I know I shouldn't like him, yes.
And it's, yeah. He's the one that usually says the most horrible shit on the show, too, which is always makes me laugh. Like,
And it's always, 9 times out of 10, is race-based.
Yes.
And they let him, and he gets to say it because he's albino, and it's the funny thing. It's kind of like, it's the albino thing puts over, like, you know, he's Black, but he doesn't, like, look Black, but you can tell he's Black by his features. And they just have him say the most, like, if it was a white guy saying that, it would just be like, it's like a 1940s movie. Like, this thing is just too damn harsh and stuff. But he said, and I'm laughing, you know, I know I should not be laughing.
Yes, and that's the problem. Like, and then what was he, the line about, the two times you have, that you remember having caviar, the first time you have it, and the first time you don't worry about how much it cost. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what a dick. I mean, just, it's, I don't know. It's just like such a arrogant thing to say that you're like, all right. But then he says something else. You're like, oh, that's kind of charming. And what was he talking about? The guy playing pool? What was he? Council member? The TA?
Something like that.
Whatever it was. Yeah. He's like, in case you don't realize it, that means you work for me now. And I was like, well, damn. So, yeah, but it's he's back in society. So it's like, the bad guy doesn't have to hide anymore, which makes it even more dangerous. And I don't know. I just like the show because people are adults on the show. And the actions have consequences and things make sense. Mm-hmm. And there was no, I liked how he was still keeping secrets from the police guys. And then she's like, why? He's like, well, you know, he already knows the word this. He doesn't need to know everything. So he's still kind of lying about everything, which is cool. And then, you know, when he starts breaking down, just telling him, like, you have no idea what I've sacrificed to do this. And, you know, he's breaking down about Gambi, but then it's also, like, the weight of everything, that's something that's not really dealt with on these shows.
Yeah.
Maybe Arrow, like, but that's
like the last time, like, a death had a whole bunch of weight that was weighted was when Professor Stein died.
Yes.
When they had the Legends over. And that was a sad one. Because Arrow's had deaths too, but it's like either it happened so sudden or it happened like off camera. And the Stein one was like weighty because it's like they spent almost a whole episode doing it, and another episode with Aftermath, they still like, yeah. But no, that's the whole thing. We talked about, like, Black Lightning deals with adult stuff and makes everybody does adult decisions and feels like grown-ups.
Yes. And where are you with Legends? Are you caught up?
I'm caught up on Legends.
So where are you with Legends then?
It's weird because I enjoy Legends even though it's completely different from all the other shows. Like, it's just so, is the 95% goofy, 5% serious stuff just, I shouldn't enjoy Legends, but I enjoy Legends, even though I shouldn't. Because they have a way of, you know why I like it? Besides the whole, they get to play in like different genres and time frame, they get their stuff. Because they put together people that you don't think would go together. And they put them in situations, and by the time the situation is over, you learn more about the characters, and the characters have more weight. And they do that almost every episode, if possible.
The thing, I don't disagree with you, because you're right. I think that's been missing this year. And the show's always had that, like, sweet charm to it, but then they mix in heavy stuff. And there's a lot of, like, real character moments, and I don't think we're getting that so far. I think the closest we've come is Nate and his dad.
Yeah. It hasn't been as heavy. It's been the heavy stuff, but not, like, because they had stuff with, like, them, like, slavery. You remember that? Like, you know, with Jackson stuff, like, or, you know, like, Nazi stuff. Stuff like that. Or even, like, last year with Zara, like, you know, it's apocalyptic future. Like, they was doing, like, real heavy stuff. And this one, like, it's been heavy, but it has been super heavy besides the stuff with Constantine. Like, you know, he basically almost died a few times, and he's dying now. But I think part of it has been, like, you know, Nate's been, like, people have been separated. Like, Nate hasn't really been Dean because he's been doing, like, office stuff more or less.
Well, did you see why he hasn't been around? His daughter, he had a daughter, and apparently there was, like, she had to go in, like, surgery, like, 6 hours after being born. Like, all sorts of stuff. So they actually had to, for this episode this week, he wasn't in it at all, and he was supposed to be. So they basically had to call in a bunch of other people to take over and, like, kind of, like, fill in and rewrite some of the show since he couldn't be in it. So that kind of makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. So, and that does make sense because, like, hey, real life stuff, it's funny you don't think about that. It's like, you know, they still film episodes while we're watching episodes.
Yeah.
And we kind of forget about that part too. So when real life stuff happens, it happens. Like, we might see some now, we might see some stuff later. But no, it's kind of like, I like how they were able to use, they bring me by not having her Vixen. So it's like that whole thing is like you recognize the face, but she's playing a completely different character. So she gets to interact with them in a completely different way compared to how that character was. So I'm just wondering, and it's kind of like they've knocked off enough people where people get enough to breathe because the team not that big. I mean, it's like they got what, like 6 or 7? Because, you know, because basically Jax, no Stein, no Kid Flash, no Rip.
Yeah, I forget what happened to Rip.
He just bounced out. That was done.
Okay. All right. So he's hanging out there somewhere then.
I don't know if he
didn't die. Didn't he?
Yeah, that explosion. Yeah, he died in, like, that explosion that was involving Malice, I think, or something like that. Yeah, so I think he actually did die. So, it's kind of like, you know, Stein had to leave because he was doing like Broadway stuff. Kid Flash busy doing movies. It's funny, you know, think about, like, these people work beside, like, show stuff. Like, some of them did movies before they did the show, and some of them did start doing movies after the show. So it's not like everybody was like, you know, this is your first job, you didn't do nothing. It's like, no, they get jobs, or the show helps them get jobs. Like, we don't think about it like Katie Lotz. She was doing Mad Men, and she was doing movies before she started doing, like, Arrow. And I didn't even know that until I was watching Mad Men, and she popped out. I'm like, wait a second. She was on Mad, like, I didn't even realize she was, I recognized her from, like, some dance movie. but I didn't even know she was on Mad Men, like stuff like that. So yeah, they, I guess, you know, I'm definitely enjoying it. I'm really enjoying Arrow. And I'm surprised because I figure I get tired like this jail stuff by now, because you figure like, you know, okay, maybe six episodes in, you figure he'd be gone. Like, no, he's, I guess they serious about, you know, we gonna, because he said like, we just not gonna be here for two episodes, then we find a way to bounce out. And I like the fact
the Flash, where, so.
Yeah, and I like the fact where it's like, why don't you say like, you know, if I run, I'm a fugitive forever. So what's the point? Like, you know, put, basically everybody sacrificed themselves for nothing. And I don't want to be on a run for the rest of my life. I'm like, yeah, he got a, you know what? He had a point. I hadn't even thought about that till he said it, even though it's this common sense stuff.
Yeah, I'm not, this isn't my favorite Arrow season so far, but it's, I don't know, I'm not like totally turned off on it. So I am ready for him to be out of jail already. And I'm not sure how they're going to get him out because of Mad Scientist guy. But if they get him out, cool.
Well, you know, I mean, sooner or later, Elseworlds pops up, I think, like in a couple weeks, like
next,
3 weeks.
Isn't that next week?
December 9th, so okay, a couple
so
weeks.
Two. Yeah.
Because I saw a promo with him in bed with, what's her face?
Iris.
Yeah. Getting a kiss. And then I saw the promo with Barry and Diggle fighting. So the one this week.
Right, I did not see that one.
And then he realized, like, oh, I'm the Green Arrow. Like, you know, no, it's because, one, I forgot. I was surprised to see Talia again. I thought she died. So to see her back all scarred up and everything, and it's like, oh. And then that whole thing, like, yeah, I ran into trouble in Gotham. I wonder what. It's funny. They've been talking about Gotham a lot lately on shows. And I know it's not necessarily Batman, but it's like, you know, it went from we never talked about it to, you know, we dropped Bruce Wayne thing to like, yeah, stuff happening in Gotham. Because the Flash did the same. The Flash did the same thing. So seeing them interact, and then they both bring up good points. Like, you expect me to trust you. You trained a guy that, you know, trying to murder my family and killed the mother of my son. And she like, yeah, you killed my dad. Like, and they like, you know, it is what it is. They both have reasons why. They both learn from it and everything. So do that. They finally did something with Curtis. It's about damn time. Cause like, you know, him just in Argus Felicity gets, don't need two Felicities. And it's like, and I like how the whole thing is like, you know, Diggle asked him why he's not like going to feel like, you know, I got divorced. I got stabbed. Look what happened to Oliver. Like, because it's funny how him and Dynamis is the same thing. Like, that hero shit didn't work and ain't worth it. And you don't, and it's funny, like, hearing it from, like, multiple people, and then you watch it's like, you know, they kind of got a point. Which is weird. Which is weird because we want to watch heroes do stuff on a hero show, but it's like, we saw them do it, and they didn't end up well. Although it's hilarious seeing Dinah, Felicity, and Laurel like being a team. Like that's still insane. I don't care how much they try to gussy it up, like they trying to learn from each other, let bygones be bygones. It is too much bad blood involved with all three of them for me to believe that.
Yeah, they got to do something, I guess. So it's like, all right, well, there's that. But no, Arrow's fine. It's nice being kind of basic again, but it's the jail stuff's got to end, and then we got to get a move on here because you're chasing Diaz for all this time,
and he's
just walking
like,
around. That hard to find.
I'm becoming a super soldier now, and I kidnap Anatoly. It's like people you forgot about. Oh yeah, I forgot all about Anatoly, even though I knew he was alive. And then I guess next episode's like, we gotta save my friend that wasn't my friend. You know, I'm in jail, and I figure like soon. And then it's like, you know, we still don't know who's the guy running around the hood that's being the Green Arrow. And then it's all of the future stuff. That's like the probably the most intriguing part of it, because it's like that stuff's kind of linked, and it's kind of like linked with the whole with Flash and Legends. And you don't think about it, because what's the big thing for the Flash? Their daughter's mad that, you know, she got her power suppressed, and she's like, why is, you know, I can't be a hero, that's not fair. But think about the time frame, and that future, like Zara's there, like, you know, being a superhero is like, it's a no-no. Like, it's basically like, it's like Terminator 2 timeline. And then you see Arrow, and it's like, you see Black Canary with a cut on her neck, so I'm assuming she don't have a canary cry anymore, and like Felicity's dead, and everybody's hiding and stuff, so something happened to cause all that. And all the shows kind of deal with it their own way, but they don't beat you over the head with it. And
you when they first... That stuff could be the Elseworld stuff?
Yeah. I mean, or kind of, or kind of related to it, but it's just funny when you first saw it, it's like, okay, you see Roy and William, like, is this time travel? Like, no, it's in the future. And they see Dinah show up, and it's like, you know, Felicity's dead and all that. Like, I'm just curious, like, one, what's going on? Two, that's real ballsy. Like, they've done flashbacks in the past. Doing, like, forward flash, like, doing flash forwards, and that's kind of like, you know, that's... Especially for a show like Arrow, because Arrow tends to be more grounded. Like, that's more like something Flash would do.
Yeah, and it's dangerous, though, because you kind of... Sometimes you can just pigeonhole yourself into something. But I guess with these, you can always just say, well, that was a possible future. So you still get out of it, so...
I mean, it's far enough in the future where, you know... Because keep in mind, like, the Flash one... What did they say? Barry, he vanished, been gone, what, 20... How many years he was gone? Like, a lot of stuff can happen between now, like 30 years from now. Yeah. Even though it's funny where everybody kind of aged the same. Like, William, like, through puberty, and Roy and Dinah, like, I know Dinah Black don't crack, but come on now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she's 19 now, like, in this time frame. Like, she's a grown-up now. But no. Like, it's not Arrow's best season, but it's been consistent so far. Like, you know, I guess sooner or later you'll get tired of jail stuff. But I like that they've been, like, you know, sticking to their guns, like, telling a story and taking their time, although you don't want them to take too much time. The DS thing is still funny. It's like, how's he still around doing stuff? Yeah. It's fine. Like, I don't, at this point, I don't mind because he likes chewing the scenery, too. I guess we can wrap up with did you watch The Flash?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I'm caught up on everything, so.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. We're still getting Iris forced on us, and it's like, whatever.
So, like, y'all hate
it's
Iris. Just
because it's called The Flash. It's not called Iris in The Flash. All right, look, so she's running around all these crimes. She goes, I can't rest because the guy's still out there. Hey, you ever heard of the police? And if you're doing this stuff, you're not a reporter anymore. It's just like, God damn, stop it. And then she jumps off a building. Get the fuck out of here.
Wait, wouldn't you want Elise to do that for you?
No.
If she fall, like...
One, she wouldn't, because it's stupid.
No.
Actually, if I had superpowers, maybe. But not yeah, that's dampen. The whole thing. No. Hey, well, actually, hang on. She's eating right now. Hey, I'm talking to my wife, everyone. So, if I had superpowers that were dampened with handcuffs, and they pushed me off a building... Would you jump off a building in the slim chances that the key you have will actually, one, get to me in time, and then you wouldn't be shaking all over the place trying to get into the hole? Yeah, exactly. See? I don't know if you heard her, but she said no. Because she's not stupid. That whole thing just annoyed the hell out of me. And like, wow, that was pretty badass. Shut up. Ugh.
You know why? You mad because you jealous because you know you've been dead. That's why. That's why you mad. You just trying to put the whole thing there. You just dumb. At least would never do that. Yeah, see?
But it's like, but when someone else is there with another, all this stuff going on.
But
like,
here's the thing. When she did it, I was shocked too because I'm like, what? That's not because I knew what she was doing. It's just real ballsy. But it's like, that fit the whole thing. It's like, Iris is, I know why people don't like Iris. Iris ain't no wallflower. Like, she will, I'll pick up a gun and do what I need to do. I don't got powers, but I don't care. Like, I'm ride or die for my man type thing. And Felicity's the same, like, Felicity's the same way. And it's how people do not like either one of those characters because they feel like they're either taking up too much time from the heroes or they're holding the heroes down. And I'm glad that happened so we get this whole... Because I was getting tired, like, you know, the daughter hating the mother thing and Barry stuck in the middle. Like, I don't know why this is going on, but I'm going to stick with Iris, you know, even though that's my daughter type thing. So, that's fine. That's settled and everything.
You know what? I actually like that stuff.
Because you're a miserable man.
No. I liked it because that seemed more. That seemed a little more real. You know, it wasn't. I don't know how to describe it, but it was the same thing like with me that it felt like Flash was written by adults for part of it, and then whatever, like the same Supergirl, and the stuff where the people were acting like adults with Camille, like talking about, you know, what Iris did in school, and how she was like, she loved, you know, she loved Barry in whatever way. Back then, like that was real stuff. I enjoyed that. And then they're like, all right, cool. That's where it should have ended. Because the more people have to keep saving the Flash, the more you just go, ugh.
See, here's the thing. Here's the issue with the Flash. It's a two-part thing. One, when they do serious, it don't work. Unless Joe's involved. And we've seen enough seasons when they try to do that to realize that Flash does not do serious well. And most of the complaints have been happening when Flash don't see serious well. The other part is, and you could talk about more than me, Flash didn't have like the strongest villain gallery to begin with. And they've been on long enough to like you kind of like scraping the bucket. So you got to find contrivance to have some suspense. Because it's like, that's always an issue with the Flash. He's so damn powerful. He should never, like, if he had real training, and I like how they showed the effect with, like, Nora, like, would not training have you do, like, because it's like, it would be, this, like, you're a species, you're not training, you're a damn disaster. But it's kind of like, Barry shouldn't be having these problems.
No, he shouldn't.
And every, like, and I can see if it was season one or season two, like, if it's not another species involved, and he can turn his neck and make his hands small.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to disagree with you on that one. Ragdoll, that was cool as hell. Because that character was a joke for a while, and then Gail Simone made him very cool.
Yeah.
And Flash did him right, even though, you know, they turned into a joke in the end.
No, I don't mind, like, the character part, but I'm like, power-wise. Like, character's cool. The character has, you know, like, I understand his motivation, even though it was, like, contrite, but whatever. We talk, like, how, okay, he snuck up on the Flash and all that. Like, how's the Flash having trouble with this guy? Yeah, like, how's the Flash having trouble with most of the guys? And shout out to that whole Ralph being Bill Spider-Man swinging, because it was cheap looking as hell, and I think that was the point. Like, it was just fun, because
Well, that was just also like, to screw with comics readers, because in the comics he would turn himself into a giant kite, or he'd turn himself into a hang glider. So that's what I was waiting. I was like, oh my god, they're gonna do the hang glider. And then when he started swinging like Spider-Man, I was like, okay, that's kind of funny at least. So,
he and I like what they're doing with him, because, you know, they let him use his detective stuff and then let him do the superhero stuff, and he still has his jokes, but it's like when you need stuff done, he gonna do it. And they don't like I like what they do with him. Like, I didn't like him when he first came. I like him now. I like him because I think they use them now, and him and Wells have a good chemistry that I didn't think they would have. You know, I'm still getting that whole accent, still weird, but
the whole thing with Elongated Man's supposed to be likable. It's Plastic Man's the one that's annoying. Like, there's a difference there, and that's why when he was like the first season, he was all downtrodden. He was this, and I was like, that's not who the character is. And then, all right, cool. So they actually build them, and it makes sense now. So I was like, oh, okay, all's forgiven. Because, yeah, he is doing his detective stuff, and because that's what he was. So, but yeah, nah, I'm enjoying the shows. I'm like, I'm not totally turned off by them, but, well, except one, which is why we're not talking about it. Mm-hmm. But Supergirl's just fucking stupid. So
Social justice warriors.
No, you know, no. The whole thing is, it's supposed to be, you know, an analogy for like illegal immigration, blah blah blah, refugees, this blah blah blah. Okay, so you're trying to tell me these aliens come all the way across the galaxy, all the way here, to take menial test jobs? Get the fuck out of here,
Jeremy!
Stop it.
Here's the thing, Jeremy. Here's the thing. you laugh at that, but you keep in mind, one, you don't know where they're coming from. Because keep in mind, some of these planets might have been, I don't know, blowing up. You ever thought about that? Because even the pretty ones come like, we in a spaceship because our planet died. And people come here on inner tubes to be janitors.
We're not doing this.
I mean,
I'm not going to lose respect for you.
You can be mad all you
want.
You can be mad all you want. Think about this. Yasuo Puig, a millionaire now in America playing baseball, and he floated his ass here on an inner tube.
Yeah, to play a game. Not to sit there about that. I'm the plant manager. Oh, fuck. I'm done with the show.
There's some people who do that. They sneak hair and they're mopping. And you're like, you're trying to tell me you got bit by, you almost bit by a bear, and you might have got raped, and you pushing a mop.
You're talking about human beings, not something that traveled in a fucking spaceship.
Yeah, maybe the spaceship, they came there because, like, yeah, I left because my planet blew up, or my planet was taken over by a slave, and I can't live on this spaceship for the rest of my life. Earth got a good atmosphere. I can make it work.
Mm-hmm. And then they could also just, like, roam around the whole planet.
And
like,
do what?
What do they need? Money? They need food?
That's the whole thing. It's like, you think about where if you look like Supergirl or you got powers like that or like Martian Manhunter, you're straight. If your main power is I can sprout a plant out my ass, then what point would be like, that's not going to make you a whole lot of money unless you're working at botanical gardens.
We're also telling aliens that they need money. Seriously. Yes. Like, what? One, the contrivance of having aliens here, whatever. I mean, the fact that all of this goes on, like, and the bad part is what they're doing with part of the show is they're proving people's points by having the president infiltrate all this stuff, which broke. It's part of the Constitution, right? The thing about
you have to be an American citizen.
So they're proving the point in that. And then they want you to sit there and go, well, you know, they're just here to be... Shut up. Just stop.
It's, you know what's amazing? You grew up on the X-Men, and somehow you have an issue. You can't wrap your brain around this.
No, I told you, X-Men wasn't my thing.
No, but it's kind of like, the X-Men had jobs? That should only work because Charles Xavier was a billionaire. Once they moved out, they had to get jobs. Imagine Cyclops having to get a job. He's Cyclops. He can blow up a mountain.
That's why he had the cool ruby red goggles.
Uh-huh. He still had to fill out 401k. Yeah. Everybody don't get to be the Avengers and get like that government check. So,
and it's kind of like how they got away with that too. So
yeah, it's like, you know, you and I forgot what I was watching. It was something, and they was talking about the whole thing. I forgot what show it was. It's like, yeah, you can be a superhero and yada yada yada. It don't pay. Oh. I know what it was. Watching Titans, they didn't make a big deal. Like, you know, one of the problems Hawk and Dell was running into was like one of them's getting old and they needed money for like medical reasons so they can retire. Like, I got bad hips, I got sexual dysfunction. Like, I can't keep doing this. I'm like in my 30s. I can't keep getting punched and all this stuff. Like, basketball players at least get like pensions. Ain't no superhero pension. You gonna hit up Batman for a loan? Like, so you never think about the whole money thing and job thing because the hero stuff, because it's like heroes and everything. Every alien is not going, and that's been the big thing with like Supergirl this season. Like, I had my issue with Supergirl, but I like the fact they point out, it's like, everybody don't get to be Supergirl. And they kept pushing, like, yeah, you don't have these problems because you got Kryptonian powers and you a beautiful blonde woman. So you're going to be straight. If you look like the wrong type of alien, like you got scales or fangs and all this stuff, what you gonna say? What you gonna do? Bite crime to death? Like, Batman can punch crime to death. You like some scaly looking lizard alien not gonna bite crime to death. So like, I gotta get a job. So yeah, I'm gonna be a bartender and I'm gonna do this for everything. And then the man gonna be mad. This ugly ass alien's taking my job and whole America. And it's like, yeah, it sounds stupid, but it's even more dumb in real life. I can't shake my head too much, Alec, considering like how dumb we act in real life. And it ain't aliens, it's just a dude from El Salvador.
See, and that's again, you're talking about people. These are motherfuckers from another planet who all apparently breathe air, which is nice. And then also have two arms and two legs. it's just childish shit. Like, it's the fact, like, someone even mentions, like, so these guys are gonna, that's what was, I thought was actually kind of curious, was the origin of, oh, god damn it. What's the bad guy's name?
Oh, the Liberty dude?
Liberty, yes, yes. Because in the comics, he's a good guy. He's an analog for Captain America, so kind of weird that they're doing this. But when his dad's like, or his dad was like, yeah, you know, they got these guys that can lift stuff with one arm, you think they're going to need some more. All that sort of stuff. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's a pretty valid fucking point, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's written by people who think Twitter's everything.
No,
and
it's...
That's what drives me insane.
No, you know why? Because it's a part of... Here's the thing. It's not necessarily that Twitter drives everything. It's a part where if you live in a certain point or a certain part, it just seems heavy-handed or foreign because, like, that's not how stuff works. But if you live in a different part, a different point, it's like... Yeah, it's that's the thing about, and that's I think the biggest thing about Supergirl is they handle stuff in a clumsy way and real heavy handed, but they talk about stuff that we deal with now, and I mean they do, and it's kind of like I don't necessarily deal with some of the stuff, but a lot of stuff I'm definitely in that whole boat, and it's kind of like for me, I'm like Supergirl as far as like I'm an alien, but I don't look like one. I kind of fit in certain part. I don't have those problems. So, and I get to be a hero, do heroic stuff. I don't have any of those issues. If I'm an alien and I don't have those magic powers, I just look like some guy, some monster's trying to steal your job. So not even just the whole alien thing. It's the fact that I'm different than you and I'm preventing you from being great, quote unquote. And that's where that whole conflict comes from. And the other thing is like, well, you an alien. What's the big deal? It's like, being an alien doesn't necessarily make you special. Like it's a difference if you're mutant power like the X-Men, you can wrap up where I got a healing power, or I'm telepathic, or I can shoot a laser beam. Say your power is I sweat acid. Well, unless you working as a trash man, what good will that do?
That's what you should work for.
Yeah, but it's like if you have a power that's just like Titans talk about the Doom Patrol, and they treat like, you know, we ain't superheroes. This power a damn curse. One lady can't get her body together. One's a damn robot. One walk around all bandages up. And they like, you know what? We aren't glamorous heroes like the Titans or like the Justice League. We are debilitated, crippled people trying to make it work the best way we can. And I think that's what Supergirl is trying to do with like every alien and hero. Someone is trying to be like normal people or like handy, you know, quote unquote handicapped people trying to make it through. But humans don't see that. They like, oh, take, you know, you're gonna come take my job with your alien air. You know?
And that's why it's stupid. Because that's all it's. We're not gonna agree on this one. That show is fucking trash, and it had so much potential when they showed. Red Sun, or I guess it'd be Red Supergirl in this case, and we're like, oh wow, right. And then we get this bullshit, and then we got John. I can't get involved in the process. Oh, it's a peaceful thing. It's like, oh, shut up.
It's people so who are like dumb. Jeremy. You mad? Like you think it's dumb, and it may be dumb, but it happens in real life all the time.
Not goddamn aliens.
Because we never. Aliens. But here's the thing. Like,
if the people who wrote Black Lightning were writing this show, I would have a little more faith in it. You know why? Because they actually deal with real social issues in an actual adult manner.
What? Not here's some the kid thing.
Going, I got 126 characters, whatever it's up to now.
What? Here's the thing, though. You trying to, like, it's aliens. Okay, it's aliens. Wait, here's the biggest conflict. People want aliens to be like how they treat aliens in Star Wars. And sometimes it's like this. Sometimes it's Star Wars, sometimes it's Star Trek, and sometimes it's like Alien Nation. And they all have aliens, and they all handle it in completely different ways. And I'm like, you know, it's acquired taste. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. And to wrap it up, I know what's the whole thing about it shouldn't make any sense to the aliens. We're going to find out how Marvel handles the whole mutant thing with the Marvel Universe, like the Marvelverse, because it's kind of like... The big thing with the X-Men has always been they are hated and feared because they're different and have these powers. Mm-hmm. And it's like they might overtake humans. how are you going to be hating on mutants if Captain America and Thor, like, you got real life aliens running around. You got the Hulk running around. You got purple people with three heads. So you cool with Vision, who's might be an evil robot, but you mad at Cyclops. Like, how you know? How you don't know Thor's a mutant? Like, and that's I've always kind of been like how they always handle that. Like, the X-Men, and I've had arguments with people, the X-Men always worked because up until recently, they were separate from everything. They, the only time they got involved stuff was like big stuff, we got to save the universe type stuff. But it's like, hating aliens and being cool with Captain America is like, that seemed dumb. Because how you know, most people had no idea how Captain America had his powers. He could be a mutant. Why would you hate him? You know, you wouldn't be mad about Captain America, like, Trump do your job because he got blue hair. Cyclops is a good old American boy, but all of a sudden he's shooting laser beams. Oh, we, you can't come to my shop, beauty. You got germs. Hey, what's up, Thor?
Like, huh? Yeah, like, unless they just keep the X-Men off the books. I mean,
they're not going to do that.
They made a, I mean, 'cause I remember in the comics, God damn, we're never going to get out of here. I remember the comics, they made a gigantic deal. Remember that was the X-Men versus Avengers, and that was like a huge deal. And now it's just whatever, but
yeah, like when they had the whole Civil War thing, X-Men was like, this ain't us, y'all work this out.
Peace out. Yeah.
Peace out. We busy. Y'all try to murder all of us with y'all damn robots. So kiss my ass. Y'all work this out, Cap and Iron Man. We gonna be like, we chilling. And
I ain't signing your papers anyways.
Yeah, like I don't. And, like, you've been trying to kill us for like, you know. And we would be remiss if we don't end, because we've been talking about comics stuff like that. R.I.P. and shout out to Stan. Yeah, wow. I was saving it. R.I.P. and shout out to Stan Lee, because I was amazed by how many people like you know, Stan Lee. I like, it's basically whatever, you can make arguments and how much credit he really deserves, yada yada yada. He's basically like one of the Mount Rushmore of comics, and he had an impact on a lot of people's lives. He definitely had an impact on my life with comics, because it's kind of like the X-Men was my baby, because they were going through the same, they basically represented what somebody like me was going through. And Stan Lee always made a big point talking about including diversity. Like, he said one thing, like, he said kind of asking, like, one of the things about Spider-Man wearing a mask is you could be, anybody could be Spider-Man no matter what you look like, where you came from, you kind of relate to that. And he made an effort, and Marvel made an effort to make their characters more human, they're more relatable to, like, people. That's why it's kind of, like, different than, like, you know, Spider-Man, Batman, Wonder Woman kind of roll one way, but, you know, the Marvel people, I'm sorry, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, kind of roll one way, but, like, the Marvel characters were more flawed, so more relatable. And you just think about all the characters of comics, and how he's an ambassador for, like, to get them into Hollywood and stuff. Like, he did a lot of heavy lifting to get that done. So it's funny, like, if you're a certain generation, oh, he's just the guy making cameos, who's him? For us, it's like one of the godfathers of comics. And you kind of knew it was coming, because he'd been around for a long time and stuff like that. But it's still just like, I'm not necessarily like sad, because like, no, he lived a long, like, you know, like, he lived a long ass life and a very productive life, and like, he was still going out with a bang. I know one thing, because they said they filmed his cameo for Avengers 4. Man, that, people gonna be crying when he pop up. Like, you go opening night, crowds who know Stan Lee, and Stan Lee pops up. Yeah, that's gonna have some weight.
Well, I would hope they don't. I hope it just be a smile. Like, yep, he got in this one too.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, it's just gonna be like, you know, he got in this one too. Last time you're gonna see him. Because remember, because playing the Spider-Man video game, he has a cameo in that, and I just started smiling, because like, I didn't even think about them doing that. And it's like, because it wasn't just like MCU stuff, he did the other ones, he did the Sony ones, he did, I wonder if he did any of the Fox ones. Like, I know he was in, I know he did Deadpool, the first one.
I don't think he did any of the X-Men. That, X-Men wasn't him anyways, though. I don't think he had a hand in any of the X-Men. I think that was later.
Yeah, but so. Deadpool wasn't one of his either. He popped up in that. He was the dude working the strip club.
Yeah, true. I maybe they just wanted him in there. So,
yeah.
And, of course, isn't that kind of a fun cameo for him, for Deadpool? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Coming to the stage, Cassidy.
Yep. All right, well, let's get out of here. We'll talk about this more next week. We are definitely running up on a long show, so might have to cut this in half. We'll see. Yeah, gang, so listen, we'll talk about it more next week. Yeah, so Stunk Randy on all social media, watch stuff as well. Yeah, we'll be back next week. We got to figure it out and see what our schedules are for the old Thanksgiving holiday. So let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and RIP and shout out to Stan Lee, the man. We are out.